Our next presenter is Andrew Ristby.
Good morning, everybody. This project or this study was done under the Clean Water 3 project, headed up by Sarah White at Clemson University, as was primarily Johanna del Castillo Munera's postdoc study. One of her studies, directed by Cassandra Sweat, originally from the University of Maryland, but now at Davis. And at the time at University of Maryland, lead project person at University of Maryland for the Water 3, Clean Water 3 projects is Dr. John Leacox. I'd like to say something for Brooke Belena, who was the worked on the wireless sensor network system. I got that going for us for controlling the irrigation. We looked at poinsettia. Primarily looking at it's an economic loss of poinsettia from Pythium disease, and primarily looking at the degree of uncertainty we have about irrigation management when it comes to the effects of substrate moisture content on disease incidence. And we were looking at a variety of different moisture contents for the substrates that we were growing the plants in. And in particular, using a deficit irrigation for a slight water deficiency in the material. Primarily, we are looking at how deficit irrigation may or may not promote disease incidence in the poinsettia. Focus was to evaluate the risk associated with changing water practices used in a controlled setting. We were doing this project also in a commercial greenhouse, but we found it was rather difficult managing irrigation, so we brought it into a greenhouse setting. And our primary question was, does the implementation of deficit irrigation predispose the plants to pathogen infection? We compared Pythium incidence between poinsettias under different substrate moisture regimes, basically volumetric water content. It was a 9-week study in a peat perlite mix. We had sensor-controlled irrigation treatments at 45%, 35%, and 25% volumetric water content. In that, we related those volumetric water contents to a matrix potential. It's something that is not usually done, and I think that when I get into talking about matrix potential today, you'll understand why we really want to hone in on matrix potential for managing a water content in our soil substrates. The 10 kilopascal, 15 kilopascal, and 40 kilopascal matrix potentials related to those volumetric water contents, respectively. Matrix potential is the amount of suction needed for roots to pull water from the particles, the surface of the particle surface of the substrate. And each soil or substrate is going to have its own matrix potential properties. For instance, you could have a substrate, two different substrates with 40% volumetric water content, but those substrates may not have the same available water. Back in 2008 at the ASHS conference in Orlando, I gave an explanation of matrix potential and the relationship to volumetric water content, utilizing this graphic from Hendrick and Black. It's a little busy, so I broke it down into a more simple graph using some animation, looking at just understanding that 7 kilopascals is 1 psi, pounds per square inch. So we're not talking about great suctions here. The graphic shows a particular substrate in a volume of 20 centimeter high pot. The y-axis is volume by percent. The x-axis is the matrix potential after plants or the plant roots are pulling that water out of the container. The total pore space is about 75%. The substrate is about 25% by volume. When we saturate the substrate at 0 kilopascals saturated, we add an air. We will add an air graphic onto this, so as the plants are pulling water out, the matrix potentials are becoming less, should I say. It's a negative since it's a suction. Matrix potentials are becoming greater, I should say, and And at negative one kilopascal, that's the point in which after saturation and drainage. So we're about, looking at that air-filled porosity, we're about 15%. The rest of that would be the water-holding capacity of the container, probably around 75% or so, or actually 60%, based on the graphic. As you look, the air increases air by volume as the plant's pulling water out of the container, and that air-water relationship becomes asymptotic. And based on that, where that air volume, air water volume starts leveling off, we draw a line, and that's considered a relatively available water, which is about 15 or 20%. The rest of that water becomes progressively unavailable. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you could break that readily available water into easily available water, and that's from negative 5 kilopascals, between negative 1 and negative 5 kilopascals. Past negative 5 kilopascals up to about negative 10 kilopascals, you have water buffer capacity. And when we're talking about cyclic irrigation, this is where irrigation managers really want to hone in their cyclic irrigation amount so that they can try to keep their container volumes in between here. Over irrigate and you get past negative 1 kilopascal towards saturation and you leach. So during cyclic irrigation events, you're trying to keep your water between easily available and buffer capacity. Past that, you get into progressively unavailable water. That is water that becomes more and more difficult for roots to pull out of the container. And this is why, you know, each substrate's going to have its own matrix potentials and volumetric water content relationships. And this is why we want to really focus on matrix potential when we're talking about water content for plants. John Lee Cox will be speaking on Friday about this Friday morning. In greater detail about matrix potential and the research that we're doing using certain instruments. So I encourage you to attend, and so long as you haven't fallen off a cliff, eaten by sharks, have been completely flamed out by the end of this conference. Anyways, let me continue. With that, we inoculated half the plants with Pythium ephanodermatum. We treated half the plants with Companion. With a randomized complete block design, 12 treatment combinations with 8 replications, and we had 2 trial periods, which we combined as a repeated measure analysis. Our parameters, we measured assessed weekly plant height, the Pythium ephanodermatum disease incidence, basically when symptoms appeared on a rating scale of 1 to 5, 1 being healthy, 5 being dead, 3 moderately stunted. At 9 weeks, we harvested the plants, so we got fresh root fresh weight, shoot dry weight, calculated the change in height over the 9 weeks, calculated the disease incidence, and from those plants recovered the Pythium. Our results were root fresh weight at the end was significantly lower in the 25% volumetric water content, as you can see right in here, this level. This is probably an artifact of the fact of the plants were well watered, not very well watered, so these roots probably were not as succulent as the other roots. We didn't do dry weights on the roots, but we suspect, based on some other research that we've done with green roof plants, sedum plants, that if we had done dry weights, the roots would not have been different in dry mass. The shoot dry weight was not different between treatments. The change in plant height was also not different between treatments. The area under the disease progress curve, weekly assessments that were done, disease progression was significantly greater with Pythium inoculated plants, also with the companion treatment. So for those plants that had that were inoculated with Pythium, they looked at the roots and found and recovered Pythium in those substrates. There was no difference in how much Pythium they recovered from those inoculated plants. However, When it came to disease incidents and those plants that had a score of 3 or greater, there was more significant damage to those plants with the lower volumetric water content. This slight deficit irrigation is what we call at the 25%. So even at 25% volumetric water content, knowing that what we did with the controlled irrigation, we call this slight deficit. And this was at 40 kilopascals, which according to that Hendrick and Black graph, was a lot of that water is unavailable. But these plants seem to manage with the peat substrate. They seem to have enough water for at least top shoot growth. So we still weren't getting towards true deficit irrigation, even with 40 kilopascals, negative 40 kilopascals. So it's rather interesting. The new instruments that we're using to determine these volumetric or the matrix potentials are showing us that these substrates may have a little more water in them than we originally thought. The slight deficit irrigation only affected the fresh root weight. Deficit irrigation also influenced pathogen infection, even in the absence of symptoms of the plants. Now, what we're thinking is that higher risk may be presented by employing deficit or near-deficit irrigation management to disease-prone species like poinsettia. And irrigation managers should be very careful about using deficit irrigation. And if you're going to implement deficit irrigation methods, you want to consider maybe starting at lower matrix potentials or higher volumetric water contents. And then as the plants are aging or getting older, becoming more established in the containers, lower your or increase your deficit irrigation over time. May I have any questions? Entertain any questions? Yes. Yes. The question was: during this time period, were we able to apply an equal amount of nutrition over the plants? Yes, we had. We were managing that. Now the question is: are you increasing your salt load for the deficit irrigation? And most likely, we were. John, did we have GS3s in those containers? So John will cover that more on Friday and how we manage. That certainly is an issue. Thanks, John. Any other questions? Okay, very good.